Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio and supporting National Public Radio here on 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at www.lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, and this is Midwest Beat, a program all about music, events, and the people who make them. Today, we are going to talk about a great show coming up on May 18th. It's happening at Sunset Hill Farm County Park. It's all about the blues, and we're going to spring into spring with this great show. We're going to tell you all about it. I'm being very cryptic here. But we've got some great guests in the studio with us. James Guetta is back with us. He has been on the program before. Jack Whittle is also with them, and they've got their guitars in hand, so we're going to play some live music, it looks like. And we've got Mr. Walter Lenkos, who is with the Porter County Parks Department. In fact, he's the big dog there. We're going to find out all about the events going on May 18th. It includes food, music, and fun, underscore fun. And on that note, let's do what we always do and let the music do the talking. Gentlemen, welcome down.
Hi. Hey. Thanks for having us, Tom.
Now, you both have guitars on. You both have independent albums out, but you work together a lot. So
we do.
Well, you want to do something together first and build this little brotherhood and community feeling?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it to it. On Midwest Beat, Jack and James.
Grabbed her keys off the counter. She walked out the door. He wasn't worried. She's left him before. He turns up the ball game and grabs himself a fresh brew. She's headed for the highway on the road to something new. Maybe to Denver, back where she studied art. Perhaps to Portland, and make a brand new start. Go to some punk shows and let her hair hang down, and make a few mistakes, cause she should surely be allowed. Cause she's not the one who cheated and lied. She's not the one who gave up. No, she's tried. She knows it's not her fault, and it's him who needs to know. She's not the one, let her go. Turned into months. It's been half a year now, and she ain't called him once. He sits and drinks and doesn't do a thing. The only time he's heard from her is when she mailed back the ring. Right now she's in Austin for some big music fest. She's had a few lovers, but nothing too serious yet. Not sure if she's happy, but at least she feels alive. She may not be over him, but she knows that she'll survive. Cause she's not the one who cheated and lied. She's not the one. She knows it's not her fault, and it's him who needs to know. She's not the one, let her go. Mm-hmm. at the front door waiting for her to walk back in. She cries and curses all the years she spent on him. 'Cause she's not the one who cheated and lied. She's not the one who gave up, no, she's tried. She knows it's not her fault and it's him who needs to know. She's not the one who let her go.
James Getta, Jack Whittle, and they are live in studio today, and you're going to be performing together at the big event on May 18th, which is the Spring Out.
Yes, sir.
At County, at Sunset Hill Farm County. That's such a long name. Sunset Hill Farm County Park. Walter Lankos is with us. Walter, welcome.
Hi.
Been a while since you've been here in the studio.
Yeah, I think so.
But we've been doing this a lot lately, popping onto radio together and just having a good time because you have a lot going on in Porter County.
Well, just a few things here and there. Yeah.
Let's start off with this event. Of course, Mojo Morganfield, who was originally going to be here today, but he's in Memphis accepting an award for his father. Roland
cool.
Stone yeah. was nominated, or I should say inducted, into the Blues Hall of Fame. And Mojo yeah. went there on behalf of his father, Muddy Waters, to accept that. So he'll be here on Tuesday, but we got James and Jack in here, and this is your first time getting to meet them, isn't it?
Yep, just met outside a few minutes ago.
All right,
yeah.
Well, what is the gist of this festival? Tell us all about it, and then we're gonna explore some more music. But this is an annual event.
Correct.
And yep. is it always focused on blues? Because you've had a lot of blues there in the past.
No. The festival itself, Spring Out to Sunset, is all about families, the outdoors, getting outside, hanging out, having fun, just enjoying the fact that it's no longer 40 degrees and raining.
well, it was yesterday.
Yeah, as I tell people, we have a really long-standing and deep relationship with Mother Nature. So we're really counting on her to pull one through for us next Saturday.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, the whole idea of this is we try to host at the beginning of the festival season. Sunset Hill Farm is home to lots of amazing events, fundraisers, concerts. Our intent is to open up the season with Spring Out to Sunset. It's a very family-friendly event. It's $5 per car to come into the festival from noon to 4. There's all sorts of activities, games, crafts, wagon rides for kids of all ages to come on out and enjoy the day with us. And then 2 years ago, we started with the idea of incorporating a barbecue competition into the event. So barbecue. This year we have a Kansas City Barbecue Society competition that's going to be going on, and we've always wanted to find a way to incorporate live music into it. So this is our first crack at doing a concert after the festival and just kind of building on the success that we've had up at the amphitheater.
Well, I love music, and of course we're going to talk about that, but let's go back to barbecue.
Yeah,
it is lunchtime after all, yes. So let's talk a little bit about the barbecue side. This is the first time. How do people get involved if they want to compete?
Well, it's sold out now.
Oh.
So let us know that you're interested for next year. We've got 20 contestants that are competing. Some of them are on the circuit, as it were. So these are people who compete all around the country and try to score points.
Now, are these individuals or are these barbecue businesses?
They're,
or both?
It's a mix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oftentimes you'll see barbecue restaurants that come out, and this is part of their either their marketing process, or they're just out there trying to win some of the prize money.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of both. But then there's people that this is what they do on their weekends. They're buddies. They get together. They have a couple of drinks. They cook some really great meat, and they compete against friends of theirs.
Is it any kind of barbecue or just ribs?
No, there's four categories. There's brisket, ribs, chicken, and pork. So usually most people do
like a pulled pork.
Yeah, most people do a pulled pork, I believe it is. So there's four categories you have to compete in. You can't do propane or gas. It's got to be on briquettes or wood, so it's the real
nice.
Deal.
Wow. Nice.
We're not going to see Myron Mixon or any of the other people on TV, but it's the same competition. These people are in that same circuit of what you see on TV with these barbecue competitions.
Now, how is the judging done? Is this something that the public comes in and judges? Do you have a panel of judges?
No, they are sanctioned Kansas City Barbecue Society judges. There's a criteria they have to use, and math is involved, which I don't do in public.
Wow.
It's a real deal. These people, you know, they prepare days and weeks in advance. Some of it's very secretive. You'll see teams that, you know, they pull up in their RV, they set up their cookers, and then you don't see them until they turn in at noon on Saturday. They're all behind the scenes, and they bring their stuff to the judges then when it's time. And
so the judging process is not done in front of the public, just the awards.
Yeah, we'll do the awards at some point on Saturday afternoon once all the judging is done.
Wow. So what happens to all the wonderful barbecue that's there? I mean, does the band get any?
That's disclosed at
this
a later
This is a valid location. Question by Mr. Lounges.
Does the MCs get any? I mean, how does that work?
You know, we might be able to work something out, Tom. At some point, we're going to need some celebrity judges,
oh,
I think.
Oh, there you go.
So
we got a couple here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, the whole idea is that this is the first time we're doing this. So mm-hmm. if this goes off well, which we anticipate it will, you know, all the planning has gone very well to this point. We've got 20 great teams that are compete. We're hoping that we can grow the event next year and add some more nuances to it. So having more barbecue vendors, barbecue restaurants there, maybe some barbecue classes. There's a kids cook-off you can do that incorporates, the family atmosphere. But, you know, generally we're pretty conservative when we do these festivals. One thing at a time, grow it slow, do it right, make sure that, you know, our patrons walk out thinking, oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was so much fun. I can't wait to do this again next year.
Now, it's important also to notice, even though it's a Saturday and a weekend, a lot of people think, oh, festivals, that goes late into the night. This whole thing starts early. The music is done by sunset.
Right. Absolutely. That's the idea.
So don't plan on making it an evening. Plan on making it an entire day and bring the kids.
Well, you know, unless, of course, if he's out there listening right now, I'm just going to officially start the rumors that, you know, Leroy's Hot Stuff has a show on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I forgot who's playing on Saturday. But, you know, if we all happen to just end up heading over there for, you know, after the Post-Mojo show, I'm sure
the place will be. Lots of good bands there.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Right down the street.
Yeah. So, you know, we can make it all night. Just amongst us girls.
Now, Leroy's one of the food vendors, correct?
Yeah, Leroy has, Mr. Flores has been just a tremendous supporter of our events through the last years. Not only this event, but Prairie Magic Music Fest. Leroy's been a food vendor. He's managed the beer gardens for us. And, you know, he's just a tremendous advocate for live music in the community. You know, Leroy's has become a place to go on Friday and Saturday night for some of the best live music in the community.
Really, it is so awesome. They get a lot of good Chicago blues bands come through there, some of the best in the area.
Absolutely.
And you know what else he's doing too, and you guys are probably already aware of it, on Sundays, once a month, he's doing the Songwriters series.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know this.
He's got open mics, songwriters things, blues jam once a month too on a Sunday. Lots of cool stuff going on. The karaoke too.
Yep.
Yeah. Just karaoke?
He does karaoke one night. I forgot what night it was. But I only recently found out about it.
That kind of surprises me because he's always the live music guy.
Yeah, it's just one night of the week, though. You know.
Now, are you saying that there was definitely a glint in your eye, Tom?
I don't know.
Listeners couldn't see, so
maybe
I didn't. Is that like a secret karaoke passion on your part?
Or? It all depends.
Or disdain.
It all depends if there's a beer garden there or not. And that said, is there a beer garden at this event?
Yes, yep. So Leroy will have a beer garden at the festival itself from noon to 4, and then he will also have a separate beer garden up at the amphitheater.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a separate event technically, because we didn't want people to have to buy a festival pass to get into the concert and vice versa. We hope they're there for both. But, yeah, Leroy's going to have beer for sale up at the amphitheater.
Okay. Again, we've got Jack and James, and they are going to be opening the show, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I don't definitely, you know, actually like the support headline kind of status. To me, everybody that plays on a stage is a headliner and needs to be seen and heard. Otherwise, we wouldn't put them there.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you sweet?
But you guys have a lot of music. You each have your own albums out.
Yes.
So are you going to be playing songs from your albums?
Yeah.
It,
depending on the atmosphere, you know, generally do a mix of covers and originals. You know, we sneak the originals in when we get people listening. So
they'll be listening for this.
But there'll definitely be, we'll do probably some songs from
Well, definitely my EP. Jack can probably do a couple from his as well.
I'm a little more in the support role on this show.
Okay.
More backing up James, playing guitar, singing harmonies.
Now, you play a lot of slide guitar.
Last
time you were here, you played slide, and you're very good at that. And
thank you.
Slide lends itself to the blues theme here with the Mojo show coming up after you guys. Are you going to be doing a lot of slide playing?
I will definitely be doing some slide playing. I don't know what a lot is, but probably,
okay.
I guess, maybe 30% of the
portion.
Time.
Because I like when he does it as well.
All right. Do you guys want to play another song?
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Let's do a new one here for y'all. This is one just wrote recently called Nowhere on a Somewhere Road.
Now, did you write this one?
Yes.
All right.
Eject. Two things to do in this town, that's get messed up and go fool around. And on Friday nights, everybody trying to have their fun. The old main drag's 80% bars, the high school kids smoking the old graveyard. And that's the place where prom baby bumps come from. It's a stoplight, stop room. Live here only if you got to. Get out of town as fast as your wheels can go. Nowhere on a somewhere road. And we're stuck between red and blue. Just out of town, there's an adult store. Just after that's an old billboard. It says, hell is real, and Jesus, he is too. It's a stoplight, stop through. Live there only if you got to. Get out of town as fast as your wheels can roll. Nowhere on a somewhere road.
Original music,
yes.
And you said that's a new one.
Yeah, I just recently wrote a couple of months ago. It's Nowhere on a Somewhere Road.
Now, is that going to be on the next album?
Probably. I like
okay.
it. Jack seems
I
to
hope
like
so.
It. Yeah, me and Jack still got to talk about what we want to do on the next project, because he's definitely going to be a big part of it. But
Now, will it be still an independent, or are you going to record together, do like an equal billing, Simon Garfunkel kind of thing?
Next thing I want to do is definitely like full band, full album, 10 to 12 tracks, full band on all of them. Because like, even just lately, I got the solo acoustic EP out. I'm very proud of, really happy what I did with it. But most gigs these days, at the very least, I'm playing with Jack, if not more people. So it's like people are hearing more when they come out to see me live than when they buy my album or listen to it on Spotify or wherever. So it's like already thinking about what more I want to do and thinking about arrangements and things like that, you know.
That song reminded me a bit of one of my favorite singer-songwriters from the older days, Steve Earle. Is Steve Earle an influence on you? Because that has a Steve Earle-ish kind of groove to it.
Definitely. As a matter of fact, when I first wrote it, I didn't even think about it. It came out pretty quickly. I threw it together. And then like later that day, I was driving the car or something. I just had my music on shuffle, and Nowhere Road by Steve Earle came up. I was like, oh, that's really close. And he's like, it's similar themes, not quite the same, you know, but he's definitely has certain themes of, in especially his early work of, you know, trying to get out of town, trying to.
He had a lot of road songs. More.
Yeah.
Copperhead Road.
Yeah. You know, that's like a country rock kind of tune. But I think it's different enough. But Steve Earle's definitely an influence, especially lately. You know, because he's so versatile and he's been around for so long and his career is ticking so many different paths. You know, he just put out the new album of Guy Clark covers, and that's really good.
Is Guy Clark an influence? That's a great name to bring up. A lot of people don't realize his fingerprints are on so many people's DNA, musically speaking.
Yeah.
He was a huge influence.
I love Guy Clark's stuff. You know, it's he takes a lot of the melancholy singer-songwriter feel Townes Van Zandt and puts a little bit of wit to it. Like, even in Guy Clark's sad songs, there's a line or two in there that'll make you chuckle.
Make you smile, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it. You know, you listen to too much Townes Van Zandt, you just want to jump off a bridge, and I love Townes Van Zandt. You know, but, yeah, Guy Clark was great, and I've been studying his writing for years and trying to figure out what I can learn from it, you know. Like, and lately, driving around with Jack to gigs and stuff, I'll play a song or something will come up and goes, is this Guy Clark? I go, yeah, if it's a good song, it's usually Guy Clark.
2019 Spring Out Festival, Sunset Hill Farm, County Park.
There we go.
That is a long title.
It is.
You guys got to shorten it. We got to give it an acronym or something.
It's all consonants. I don't know if it works.
Yeah, that's true. That's going to be the event. Now, what time is everything starting again? Noon?
Yes, the festival starts at noon, noon to 4, and then James and Jack are scheduled to start right at 4 o'clock.
Okay, and then Mojo and the Mannish Boys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Mannish Boys. Again, Mojo, God bless him. He travel safe. Get back to us. He's in Memphis.
Memphis, baby.
And he is accepting the award on behalf of his father, Muddy Waters. Joseph, of course, the third and youngest son of Muddy. There's Big Bill and there's Mud Morganfield, and then there's Joseph coming up the ranks now, living the dream, living the legacy of Muddy Waters. And Rolling Stone, the song Rolling Stone that Muddy recorded back in 1950, which I don't know if you guys know or not, was the second release on Chess Records. It was only the second release, and it became an indelible force. It's ground zero, as Mick Jagger once put it, for the entire British invasion blues thing that exploded with John Mayall and the Animals and the Stones and the Kinks and Jethro Tull, who did in fact start as a blues band, as did Black Sabbath. Yes, they did. They were called Earth. So everybody was playing the blues, and Muddy and Willie Dixon and those cats, they started it all. And Rolling Stone is the song that the band took their name from. It's also the song that the magazine took its name from and is being inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame in Memphis, the real Blues Hall of Fame. And Mojo was invited to be there and accept it. And Bob Margolin, Steady Rolling Bob Margolin, was there to present it and accept it with Mojo. There's pictures online. So it's a really big deal. And Mojo's career is starting to take off. His EP came out. He's got a new full-length album coming out into summer. A new single that we're going to debut when Mojo's here on Tuesday called The Mannish Boys. And he's got that going on. And Walter, we got him at your event right in time. He's starting to break.
Yeah, this is incredibly serendipitous. This is good stuff.
Now he met you last year when you had the Almond Betts guys there.
Correct. Yeah, it was just a happy circumstance that you were able to join us and dragged Mojo along for
the
ride.
Well, he was not kicking and screaming.
No,
let me
he
tell
definitely
you.
Not.
He said, "Wait, there's a beer garden, there's food, and there's blues. Yeah, I think I can make it."
Yeah, that worked out incredibly well. So you know, it's just one of those kind of really cool things that lets me know, okay, we're in the right place at the right time here. So that worked out, and just glad that we're moving forward and he's going to be rocking that stage. It's pretty amazing now that when I think about it, the number of folks that have come through and played there in the last few years. If you think some of the talent that's been out there, he's, you know, to have him and you guys as alumni now, that's pretty cool.
That is. It's going to be great. You got another big event coming up later in the summer. Just even though I don't want to confuse the issues, want to let people know about it so they can get tickets in advance and be aware of it. You have another really big show coming up. Tell us about that.
The Prairie Magic Music Festival. This will be our fourth year doing the summer festival. Our headliner this year is Las Lobos. I'm just super excited. And, you know, not just because it's Las Lobos, but being a former accordion player.
Are you really?
Yes.
I didn't know that about
absolutely.
You. Next time we got to bring him on stage with you guys. A little Zydeco blues.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've had, you know, Buckwheat's been there.
Yeah.
Buckwheat played. He played the first Lightning Bug Music Festival out there. So this will be the second time we have an accordion on stage.
There you go.
And, you know, to get out there and get a chance to hang out with David Hidalgo and the rest of those guys, that's just going to be a tremendous honor. But they're going to be headlining. We also have the Bottle Rockets.
Another great band, Roots Rock. They are one of the best out there. If you've not seen them, make sure you're there to see them.
Yeah, it's sort of like rock royalty that's happening with this between Las Lobos, the Bottle Rockets, and then Robbie Foulkes is on the lineup as well. So
all on one day.
All on one day.
Wow.
Yeah. Plus Big Road, again, they were our opening act from last year. So four acts for that concert. It's going to sell out. It's going to be just a blast.
Robbie Foulkes alone is worth the ticket price. What a great singer-songwriter he is.
Yes. I mean, this has been the Rob Harkle, the gentleman that I work on.
Brightside Music.
Yep. Yay! Yeah, I got to give the shout out to Rob and Brightside. You know, and I'll shamelessly plug him again. One of his other projects is tonight out in Three Oaks. I'm headed in a few hours to go see
the Way Down Wanderers.
Way Down Wanderers.
They were on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my gosh, those guys are so much fun. So I cannot wait to go see them at the Acorn tonight. But yeah, for Rob and I, this is a bit of a dream show. I mean, he's such a huge Bottle Rockets and Robbie Foulkes fan. You know, I remember growing up, you know, going downtown at the Empty Bottle to go see Robbie Foulkes. So this is... this is really cool for us to have this in Las Lobos to grace our stage. So this is a big jump for us.
What has the response been from your constituents, I guess you would say, in Porter County? Are they supportive?
They are tremendously. Yeah. In fact, so one of the really cool parts about this is when folks come up to us and say, "Oh my gosh, you got Las Lobos? How did you do that?" And it's really fun to be able to respond to people. Well, it's easy. You just got to
pick up the phone, write a check with a lot of zeros.
You know, but in all honesty, the relationship that we've had with artists has been sincere and genuine in that we've been very open with the talent that we've worked with to say this is a community event. We're doing this for these right reasons to support activities at our facility. And artists have responded in kind. I mean, Devin and Dwayne and their team, they made sure that they were able to find a way to make the show work. Las Lobos, them and their talent management did the same thing to make sure that they could be a part of this festival because they wanted to support the good things that we're doing. And, you know, in my mind, the whole point of what we do out there is coming to fruition now. Having guys like James and Jack play on the stage, that's the point of this, to get the type of talent that people will recognize without any sort of additional advertising. Everybody knows who Las Lobos is, right? Great. So I'm going to get Las Lobos to come and play. So you want to buy that ticket or to see Mojo play because you just want to see Mojo. But then we're giving our local artists, the people that we want to make sure folks know about, that opportunity to play in front of them. So that's the point is I grew up playing in my parents' garage with my buddies. And or if anybody remembers the Thirsty Whale.
Yeah.
Back in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, I don't want people to have to go deal with the Thirsty Whale on the way coming up. You know, I don't know. But Tom may remember.
I got some mixed memories of the whale.
You know, yeah, I mean, I remember being petrified of going upstairs for, you know, deal with management. And there was literally the one light bulb hanging on a string in the manager's office upstairs, you know, wondering, am I making it out of here or not? But, you know, I want the young artists that are trying to make it and trying to do good things in this world with their music. Let's be that place. Let the amphitheater be that.
There are a lot of incredible talents in Northwest Indiana, the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things we do at the record store, too, is we try to offer a place where people can come see it and where artists can play their original music.
Yeah, man.
Because most clubs, it's like, oh, yeah, here's Brown Eyed Girl again. I know I always bring up Brown Eyed Girl, but I really hate that song.
Note to self, don't play Brown Eyed Girl, guys.
Ever. But you'll see the change. I'll be like the Hulk. I'll rip out of my shirt here. But it's great because, you know, there's the Chad Cliffords out there, the Jeff Masseys, the Jacks, and the Jameses. I mean, there's all these guys and girls that are creating this amazing amount of music. And fortunately, with technology like it is and, you know, the share systems and the MP3s and the downloads, it's easier for a lot of these artists to be heard, but it's still not being embraced live, except at a handful of breweries, which we've talked about in the show before, a lot of the brew houses, because the people that like their beer unique – like their music unique.
Absolutely.
It's a free-thinking environment at a brewery, more so than a nightclub where you're there for one reason, is usually to get some skirt, you know, basically. I mean, let's be blunt. Come on, guys.
Is this your intro to Can't Get No Grindin'?
It actually is. I'm leading up to that. So it's great that we have these festivals like yours, and it's great that people are coming out. And I think a lot of the oomph, if you will, that's kind of boistering up some of these kind of local fests is the fact, and I hate to say it, but the fact that the Star Plaza's gone.
Sure.
Broke my heart when the Star was gone. Spent 39 years of my life in and out of that building doing things. But it's gone. And we have to find a place to see good entertainment.
Yep.
And a lot of places like the Munster Performing Arts Center has picked up a little bit of the slack. Festivals like yours have picked up the slack. We've got the new Crown Theater that's going to hopefully be opening soon. The Art Theater, downtown Hobart, Shane Evans and his guys. A lot of people, now granted, they're all much smaller venues, but we're all picking up a little bit of the piece to create and keep the music scene alive in this area. So kudos to you and the people that do that. And on that note, let's play something from the Missing in Action Mojo, who's not here today, but will be here live in studio on Tuesday, where we'll debut his new song, Mannish Boys. This goes back to the Mojo Risin' album, and this was actually one of his dad's songs. We were talking about how Rolling Stone's just gotten inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame in Memphis. This is another Muddy song that's being interpreted by his youngest son, Joseph Mojo Morganfield, and the Mannish Boys, which is the name of the group. And they'll be headlining. God, I said that word. They'll be on the closing act on the Sunset Hill Farm County Park stage.
Nailed it.
I'm going to get it right before this show's over.
Yep,
let's do a little grinding here.
I can't eat the meal, had to bring it right back. What's the matter with the meal?
Down.
What's the matter with the meal?
Down.
Can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal? Some people said that a preacher won't steal. I caught one in my cornfield. What's the matter with the meal? What's the matter with the meal? I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal? Grind, Reese. Thank you. and one had a pet. The other one had the corn keel around his neck. What's the matter with the mill? What's the matter with the mill? I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the mill? You won't steal. I caught one in my cornfield. What's the matter with the mill?
Got broke down.
What's the matter with the mill?
Got broke down.
I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the mill?
Doing a little grinding here at 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. And what's the matter with the meal? Don't know, but she ain't grinding. Mojo. Joseph. Mojo. Morganfield, the mannish boy. And that, of course, is late great father Muddy Waters doing that song, originally writing that song. That was Mojo's recording of it off his Mojo Rising album. And it's interesting because things come full circle. We're talking about how the evolution of music and the way things change. Back in the day, about 1982, if my memory serves me, I was doing a couple of dates with Muddy Waters, and I had a chance to meet him and book him at the Point East and work with him and cover different events that he had done shortly before his death, within the year before he passed, him and Willie Dixon and the Willie Dixon Trio. And all these years later, I meet Mojo right here in the studio. In fact, Connie Carroll brought him in one day. And I looked at him, and it was like looking at a ghost because he looked so much like his dad when his dad was younger. Although when I worked with him, he was an older gentleman. You still see the DNA in that face. I mean, it's Muddy. And then he opened his mouth and talked. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like 18 again, you know. But we've gotten to be fast friends. He's very talented, as are his brothers. Again, the Morganfield DNA is alive and well throughout America and the world with Big Bill Morganfield and Mud Morganfield, now Joseph and the Mannish Boys stepping up and getting their just due. And last year, we told this story on our friend Rick Federici's show. Last year, a friend, Paul Rogers of Bad Company, who has been very, very generous and wonderful, him and his wife Cynthia, to my animal fundraising projects. And so it was part of the projects that they had given us tickets, blah, blah, blah. And we did some, went to go pick up some signed guitars and different things. And it was the Stars Align tour with Jeff Beck and Ann Wilson and Deborah Bonham and all these different artists. And I took Mojo and Connie with us. Alice and I took them, and I said, you got to, yeah, I called Paul. I says, Muddy's son is here. You know, would you like to meet him? He's like, of course. Now, of course, Muddy and Jeff did a tribute album to Muddy Waters, an amazing album. And he said, please bring him back. So we brought him back, and they were so warm and wonderful to Mojo. And then when Jeff Beck
Paul and Cynthia took us over to meet Jeff. Jeff found out who he was. He literally bowed and said, if it weren't for your old man, we wouldn't be here today. And Mojo just had that look of amazement on his face. He didn't know how to respond. He's like, well, yeah, that's true, but I'm me, yeah. And you're him. You're Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
You know, it was that weird moment that we wish we would have captured on film. We got pictures of them together and stuff, but that moment, it was like a spark. And Jeff, who almost never smiles, right. If you look at pictures of him, he was sharing sure. jokes with Mojo. It was to see the warmth between those two guys who had just met over the spirit of music, over the blues. Just that chance meeting. They may never meet again, but it was a magical time to witness. And I know we're going to talk with Mojo about that on Tuesday a little bit more. But have you guys had any of those kind of moments where you've met someone that really impacted you or someone that was really special to you, or whether you met them or saw them in concert or something where that kind of kismet happened?
My last month or so at Ball State when I was in college, I got to see Willie Nelson perform there. And it was my second time seeing him. I'd seen him in 2009, and this is in 2011. And it was a good show. It's funny watching a Willie Nelson show, even, 8 years ago now, but it's like you could tell he's just done shows for 50 years because it's like a well-oiled machine, almost on autopilot. Very little banter, just song, 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 song.
He's got a lot of them.
Yeah, at one point, I believe at the end of the night, he said, "Thank you, Green Bay," and we were in Montana at the time. But
hello, Cleveland.
Yeah, but I went up to the stage afterwards. He was shaking hands and signing stuff. I gave him a T-shirt signed, and I shook his hand. I got to shake Willie Nelson's hand, and I tell you, it was leathery as a catcher's mitt.
I believe his face looks that way too. Yeah. He's a well-worn man.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy sort of feeling. And at a small interaction on social media, but I posted a John Prine cover one time of his song "Your Flag Decal Won't Get You Into Heaven Anymore," and John Prine liked it. So that was like, Jack insists it's probably just one of his people, but it makes me feel good to think John
That's
Prine
still cool.
there on his Instagram. Just
I get excited when I get an email from Prine. Yeah. And I know it's, again, probably his crew. It's right. but from yeah, Oh Boy yeah. Records. It's yeah. coming out. It's like, John wants to let you know that he's going to be performing at Ravinia, blah, blah, blah. And, he's interested in having you promote his new album on the radio. I'm like, oh, okay, And it's like, did he tell him to send that? Does he know who I am?
Don't worry, Tom. John has the same thing go on when you email his team.
Mm-hmm.
And he responds with, did Tom Lounges just send me a message? Are you kidding me?
Jack, what about you? What's your aha moments like that?
That's a good question. I don't really get starstruck that much, honestly. But living in Bloomington, I met this harmonica player, band leader guy, Jason Ritchie. I wasn't starstruck at all, but he was living there temporarily due to legal reasons. But it was just really great for me to just hang out with, jam with, and learn from him. It was that was really special for me at that point in time in my life.
Now, how long ago was that?
Well, it was probably, I graduated like 5 years ago about. Okay. 5 years ago about. Jason Ritchie, he's out of New Orleans these days. Plays harmonica, the best harmonica player you'll see, bar none, really. And it was really awesome. Learned a lot about blues, music, theory, life, what not to do. Yeah.
So you have to hide in Bloomington.
Yeah.
For legal reasons. Walter, who's your starstruck story? Do you have one?
Oh, gosh.
You've been around a long time. You've been in the bars and the clubs and the concerts.
I would have to say that my favorite was Ice-T. Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you throw down with the Iceman?
We got to hang out for a few moments. This was back in the day when I was still making the annual pilgrimage to Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Eagle Auditorium for Milwaukee Metal Fest.
Okay.
And that year—
Was that with Body Count?
That was the year that Body Count was headlining the festival. So here's— all the low budget, acts that are, heavy metal acts, most crews are just coming out of their own personal vans.
Yeah. Right.
And we're sitting outside having a cigarette, me and my buddies, and here comes this series of stretch limos, thinking, who the hell? heck is showing up to this joint like that? And of course, it was Ice-T and his entourage. and the first thing that they did was they sat out front and drank a beer and smoked a cigarette with all the fans outside. He was totally approachable, accessible, such a super nice guy. And then this was the most amazing, and I don't know if this was scary or this was just pure talent, but during the show, the lighting rig started to come down.
Oof.
So literally the whole rig was beginning to fall onto the
while Body Count was playing?
While Body Count was performing, and Ice-T somehow miraculously kept the band going, coordinated with the folks on stage and the fans to make sure that nobody got hurt, nothing bad happened. They got the rig pulled back up and secured, and it was like they never missed a beat.
Wow.
The whole time. It was really amazing. So that was a lot of fun. I mean, yeah, I've gotten a chance to meet some real weirdos in the industry.
There's a lot of those too.
Yeah, I mean, King Diamond, I met him at that same festival. And again, you know, like, talk about just way off the wall, strange people. But again, like, so nice, so down to earth.
Did you do Abigail?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's like, I could see him do Abigail, maybe one or two others, and I've had enough of King Diamond. I'm not a big fan.
When I was 17 and angry at the world, King Diamond spoke to me quite a bit, you know. But now things are a little bit different.
Now we just have the blues.
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to mix it up, that's for sure. I mean, you said it, you know, Black Sabbath, where's that, those roots?
Yeah.
That's where it all comes from, man. There's nothing different. I joke, in our business and recreation, we haven't done anything new since 1974.
Just reinvent the wheel a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I feel like that's what we're doing. You know, guys like us, we're trying to figure out what do we take from the people that came before us and just make it new. We're not breaking that huge new ground. We're just trying to honor those that came before us.
Spring Out to Sunset is the event, May 18th. It's next Saturday already?
Next Saturday.
Wow, that's coming up quick. Sunset Hill Farm County Park. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
got it right. And that is right off of 6.
Yep, US
6
Meridian.
So it's easy to find.
Yep.
It's kind of a neat place. Have you guys ever been there?
I don't believe so.
No.
It's a natural amphitheater.
Huh.
It's the Red Barn stage. The barn opens up, and it's a nice little stage.
Mm-hmm.
But it plays out to this grassy knoll, and it, like, curves up. So you've got the sound that kind of encases in there.
Yeah,
it's
one of the most amazing local venues you'll ever play. It's like playing Ravinia, small scale.
That's cool.
The sound is just naturally good there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So,
even more so now.
Are you doing a lot more shows there now since you're kind of in charge of your group?
Yeah, so we've worked with a bunch of community partners to start doing concerts out there. So that's how the Lightning Bug Music Festival came to be.
That was, 6 years ago maybe?
Yeah, I want to say this. Yeah, 6 years. The Babapalooza Festival is out there now. Yeah, it's
I'm not familiar with that one.
That's, well, believe it or not, another Leroy connection.
Okay.
It's a fundraiser for the Chesterton Porter Rotary Club. They did it at Leroy's for years, and it grew so much they needed a place to go. So we were able to partner with them and figure out how to do that. We've had the Chesterton Middle School Orchestra has been out there for performances, the Gary Shakespeare Theater. It's starting to grow, and people are identifying it as a good venue to use.
It's quite spacious, too. Now, tell us a little bit about the history. It was a working farm, and a family, the house is still there.
Correct.
The family donated the land to the county, correct? Is that about right?
Sort of. There's some mixed history there between the family and Purdue University and the county. But, yeah, eventually the county got possession of the property. The family wanted it to be used for recreation. So that's what it is. It's 238 acres of natural area. The family that worked the farm, the Prossers, their farmhouse is still there. The Murray farm is now gone. The Murray house, rather, that was on top of the hill is no longer with us, but the farmhouse is, and that's where we'll be doing our little green room. Yeah, well, that's where the green room will be for the show, so that's where you guys will be able to hang out.
Okay.
Beforehand is that little 1930s, 1940s farmhouse. We do all of our field trips out there, all of our park programs are out there, so it's a super busy place with a lot of restoration that we've put into it to take it from a farm for 40, 50 years to public recreation where there's trails and activities and place to run your dog and run the kids and not be in the regular milieu of your busy day.
Yeah.
How long has it been part of the county park system?
I believe 1984 is when the land started with our foundation. They took possession of it, and then they slowly worked it into a park. Because there's a crazy story and tale about how the university, Purdue University, wanted it, but the community didn't necessarily want it to go to the university because they knew what was going to happen to it afterwards. There was concern that it was going to be sold and developed, I believe.
Okay.
So the community rallied around and literally started a nonprofit to take the property before there was even a park board. And so the community figured out how to do this, and they worked. They created a park board, and they worked with the elected officials to start getting all of these grants to build it. So this is, again, you know, my statement of I'm just here trying to do what someone started 40 years ago mm-hmm. to figure out. That's exactly what's happening out there still. We work with our foundation all the time. The new building that's going up is because of their fundraising efforts. So, you know, this is a place that's still growing and still figuring out.
What is the new building?
We are building a silo, a grain silo that is going to be program space. So just like you see at any farm mm-hmm. in Northwest Indiana, it's a real silo that our contractor, Chester Incorporated, they've been tremendous to work with. They're finishing the building, and it will be where all of our summer camp and youth programs take place now.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the things that's impressive when you first get there is the Red Barn stage itself.
Yep.
It just looks right to be there in that field. What is the story behind the Red Barn? Who created that? Who came up with that idea? Do you know?
Park Board and Park Foundation. They wanted a performance space, and they worked with, again, a contractor, a local contractor, to build something that fit the aesthetic.
Yeah.
And all of the farm buildings were all these red buildings that all kind of had the same look. So they worked with a contractor to build one that looked just the same. So to that point, it's meant to just fit in.
It's a great visual as you're sitting there. You're laying there in the grass and you're looking around. You can tell you're on a farm and then you're watching a great band play in a barn.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's a neat concept.
Yeah, it absolutely. And, you know, the whole idea behind it, too, is I mean, I've been to some of these amazing venues we have in this country. And there's a certain aesthetic you get, and performers enjoy it. I mean, you mm-hmm. hear people talk all the time. Where's their favorite place, to, you know, the big acts? Where do they love to play?
Red Rocks.
Red Rocks.
Yeah.
The Gorge, the Greek, you know, these classic. Ravinia. These classic venues that have this great sound, and it's a wonderful aesthetic. That's the feeling that we're going for. We want artists to know, man, we're going to bring our A game because people are super excited mm-hmm. to see this. Not that artists don't necessarily bring it every time, but you get kind of amped up when it's something special, and that's what we want this to be.
Okay, very cool. Guys, you want to play another song?
Yeah, let's do it.
You're listening to Midwest Beat, 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. We're talking about Sunset Hill Farm County Park and the Spring Out to Sunset event that's happening next Saturday, believe it or not, May 18th. Starts at noon and goes until sunset. And we've got James and Jack, James Guetta and Jack Whittle, and they're going to be performing on stage, and they're going to be performing right now. What are we going to play?
Let's see. We've been talking about the blues, so I'll do a blues one. Still kind of hot out of the oven. Just finished writing it yesterday.
All right.
This one's called Bring Me Home to Mama. F sharp, Jack. We've been going good, babe, about a month or so. You wanna bring me home and introduce me to the folks, oh baby. You don't gotta make that kind of fuss. Don't bring me home to mama, babe. Your mama might like me too much. Tonight doesn't work, no, it's a little bit too fast. This is just park where it's dark down by the old walking path. Oh, baby, ah, you little such and such. Don't bring me home, mama girl. Your mama might like me too much. Talking about a Jack. Thank you. just can't say when. Not as long as your daddy keeps that old rifle in the den. Oh, baby, it's just a matter of trust. Don't you bring me home to mama, no. Your mama might like me too much. Yeah, come a little closer, girl, don't worry no more. I know me and I've seen me do it before. Oh, baby, it's better when it's just us. Don't you bring me home to mama, girl. Your mama might like me too much. One more, Jack.
To all those mamas on this Mother's Day weekend. Yeah, baby. Good stuff. We were talking about all the different ways that you did a solo album, James, and now you're playing with Jack a lot more and you're playing with musicians. How did the two of you get together? Because this is really a great relationship musically. Personally, you guys really seem to get along great. Musically, you complement each other so well. How did this all come about? Where did you guys go ahead?
I saw James at Front Porch when I first I moved back into the area like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think I remember you from that same night.
Yeah, I saw James and I really liked what he was doing. Great original tunes. He has a huge voice. I was like, oh man, that's cool. I'd like to do something with him. Yeah, because he does country music and I didn't really do country music at that point in time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to scratch an itch of mine that I haven't done yet. Friended him on Facebook and stuff, and eventually I think I reached out on Facebook and was like, yeah, we'll do something. Nothing came of it, you know. Then later, you know, I feel like, you know, a few months later again, it's like, hey, you want to go jam or something sometime?
Right. It was, I wanted to get out more. I was just kind of hitting my same two or three places I would play at every week or so for, you know, no real pay, no real gigs, just kind of going out to open mics, jam nights, things like that. And I was like, you know, I got to get back out there. I got some kind of itch I need to scratch, like Jack was saying. And, yeah, I had Jack on Facebook because, you know, you run in the musician circles around here. You meet a lot of folks. You don't necessarily hang out with them a whole lot. But then I thought, you know, I saw Jack was playing some shows, and he had just put his album out at the time. And I was like, you know, that could be fun just to do a show together. Like, not even playing together, just like I'll play for an hour, he'll play for an hour. Didn't really understand time how putting shows together worked or anything like that, so I just reached out to him and I said, hey, if you ever wanted me to open for you or do something together, you know, I'd be down for it. So, and he said, and then he had expressed he'd been wanting to back people up as well on top of just his stuff, just so he can focus on
explore the
musicianship
bit.
Of it. So we just started hanging out and jamming together and figured out we played pretty well, and he's a great guitar player, good harmony singer, and like I like that he plays a lot of country licks really well, but I like when he doesn't necessarily adhere to the country style, especially when he's on his electric, you know, maybe a little bit more dirt on the lead guitar there. And it's that I like that about him, is that he doesn't feel like he just needs to play country, because it adds a fun dynamic to some of my tunes.
But you definitely have a country sound, but yes. I'm seeing this as being, when you guys are together, it's country blues. It's old school Front Porch country blues.
Yeah.
And I think that is the magic that the two of you create together. Are you going to be doing electric on Saturday? Are you going to do acoustic? Are you going to mix it up?
Both. Yeah. Usually electric on these sorts of gigs. James will do acoustic and a little electric.
So that'll really bring out the country blues thing. So that slide's going to be put to work.
It'll sing for sure, yeah.
When did you start playing slide? And why? Why slide? What influenced you?
I probably tried in high school. I always liked blues since I play guitar, but I started trying to play guitar when I was 16. And, you know, I wanted to pick up slide because I liked, you know, the Allman Brothers, Elmore James, all the blues and blues rock. But I never really got it. It's hard at first. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. I've tried it.
So I put it down and then went to college. Then started listening to a lot more blues, like real old-timey stuff. A lot of acoustic, a lot of weird tunings, and a lot of slide. And it's like, to try again.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I took my time and learned one string at a time how to play with a slide. So just start with just one string, high E, then eventually incorporated more strings in there slowly. And yeah, it's been fun.
What is the difference? Let me just throw this out there. Or is there a difference between slide and bottleneck?
There's no difference. A bottleneck is in reference to like actually using a neck of a beer bottle or wine bottle, okay, or something. That is playing slide guitar. Bottleneck is just like the specific like thing you have on your finger.
Okay.
So bottleneck is a slide.
Okay.
Slide is not necessarily a bottleneck.
I
kind of
thought it was similar,
but
I remember seeing an old clip. I don't know if it was Lightning Hopkins or who it was. Somebody was playing. They just grabbed that long neck bottle and just started wailing on the frets.
Yeah,
I'm going, damn, that's cool. And then all of a sudden I started to, you know, learning more about slide guitar from, you know, the Dwayne Allmans of the world. And I just didn't know if there was a difference in the approach or if it's just the same basic thing but done kind of spontaneity and cool.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, a bar trick, you know. Yeah. It looks really cool when you pick up a beer bottle and start playing. It's a little harder control because there's a lot more weight on it,
right,
and there's a big body, so it kind of wobbles more. Yeah. There's
the bonus.
There's a great clip on YouTube of Danny Gatton playing beer bottle slide, and he'll take a drink, and it's spilling all over. Like, it's spilling all over his guitar and everywhere, foaming, and then he'll pull it down and start playing with it. Yeah, it's good. Danny Gatton, beer bottle, YouTube, find it.
What, tell us a little bit about your songwriting, Jack. What inspires you? What is your style? What is your mojo, if you will, that makes you want to put words and music to paper?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm still definitely figuring that out. And it's one of the reasons why I'm playing with James a lot, because I really appreciate his songwriting, and I hope a little bit rubs off on me.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I'm a sound guy. I like grooves. I like guitar licks. I like, you know, interesting rhythms on the drums. That's usually where I start from, from sound. And then lyrics come later, you know, whatever I'm feeling or thinking about at the time.
Okay. Well, James, you have story songs.
I try to, yeah. Another reason me and Jack work well together, I think, is like he said, we approach things from two different angles almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a words guy. Like, I was a creative writing major in college, and, you know, I've always been a words first kind of guy. I picked up the guitar because my poems sounded like songs anyway. You know, I didn't Yeah, I try and tell stories. I try and paint pictures when I can. You know, adhere by the old writing rule. You always hear of show, don't tell. You know? Like, I watched an interview with John Prine recently and with, like, CBS Sunday Morning or something. And he was talking about his songwriting with a guy. And he said, I always thought it's interesting if you just put an ashtray in the room, so to speak. You know, like, it's the details and images that can convey the stories. Like, and I'm trying to get better about that versus just literally saying, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. You know, there's room for that, too, especially, like, one of my songs on my EP, The Traitor, Hiram McCall. It's
which,
like,
I definitely want to hear you play today.
Yeah, we'll do
that's
do
like
that
my
one.
Favorite on your album.
Yeah, that's I try and get a little bit of both in that one. But, yeah, I do my best to tell stories because some of my favorite songs are stories, you know.
Okay. Mojo is starting to write a little bit more, and we have a song that we're going to play from him. That actually, it's an original song that he worked on with another gentleman that actually used to write for Muddy. I'll let him tell the story when he's here on Tuesday, but I know that he's getting more involved in doing originals. He started out doing mostly his dad's music. Now, of course, when he plays with the Manish Boys, you'll be hearing a lot of Muddy songs. But you'll be hearing a lot more because his new original album is coming out end of summer. So we're going to get things rolling. Are we ready with that? We're going to be doing the Let's Play Chess. So Let's Play Chess, if you listen to this. Of course, Muddy Waters, as I mentioned, Rolling Stone, the song, was the second single released on Chess Records. Willie Dixon, who worked closely with Muddy as producer, bass player, and engineer at Chess Records, all these guys played there. The Elmore James, all these guys recorded at Chess. Chess Checker Records on Michigan Avenue was a huge, it was the Sun Records of the Midwest, basically. They did so much stuff. So this is a name-dropping tribute to Chess Records that gave Muddy his start when he moved up here from Mississippi, doing like so many other great blues artists, following the blues migration, which brought him to work in the mills so they could raise their families. And are we ready with this? This is an original tune. It's off the Mojo Rising EP. And I do believe that it's going to be included as well, possibly re-recorded. I don't know. We'll find out Tuesday. But this is a great song. Listen to the name dropping going on as we gather around to play chess.
You're feeling blue. You're looking down. Well, we're gonna rock away that frown. Baby, let's play chess. Let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. They gave the blues Chicago soul, taught the world to rock and roll. Otis Rush and Otis Band, Maybelline and I'm a Man. Baby, let's play chess. Let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Coco comes to fuss and fight. Jimmy Rogers say that's alright. The Manish Boy, the Seventh Son, Howlin' Wolf, and I ain't done. Baby, let's play chess. Let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess.
Chess. Chess Records, an homage to the great music that came out of there. Very basic music, but when you think about it, music that set the world on fire and changed the direction of music in general. As we talked about, the song Rolling Stone, Mick Jagger's called it ground zero for a lot of the blues scene that became the British Invasion. And it was interesting to see that America really didn't embrace its own indigenous music of the blues until the white British Invasion guys repackaged it and sold it back to us. That just always amazed me that we had all these great talents, but you know, Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry and Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon and all these guys, Elmore James, they all had to go overseas, Sonny Boy Williamson, and play shows there to be revered as they should have for the great music they made. And then people like John Mayall and Keith Ralph and all these guys kind of took that, gave it the British white boy spin on it, recreated it, and sold it back to America as something new. And bands like The Animals, you know, they just reinterpreted the blues. And I remember when we booked B.B. King at Point East, and there's a picture of he and I on the wall in the record bin, and people ask me about that a lot. And it's standing in the small dressing room. We're both very young. And I was interviewing B.B. for Scholastic Magazine, for the high school educational magazine. And I remember saying, "Mr. King, does it bother you that you're playing here, 1,600 capacity, beautiful club, but it's 1,600 capacity club, and Eric Clapton and the Stones are playing stadiums and arenas, basically playing your chops, you know, playing music that you and your contemporaries created?" And he said, "No, not at all." He said, "Because we would have been forgotten had it not been for them." So he goes, "The fact that I can play for 1,600 people and still get a good paycheck and put food on the table for my family, that's a win." He goes, "People know us because of Eric and because of Keith Richards and because of people like that." And I thought that was such an enlightening outlook, because you talk to some musicians and they're extremely bitter. And I guess I can understand that. You create something and then somebody else kind of borrows freely from it, bastardizes it, if you will, and makes millions. Now, you know, would I be that gracious? I don't know. I don't think I would. But I thought that was one of the greatest nuggets of interview time that I ever had in my career, to hear him say that he is so grateful for that. And then obviously go on and look at Buddy Guy. I mean, Buddy Guy's revered today. He's the last man standing, really. You know, all these guys got their just dues shortly before they passed, in most cases, like B.B. Everybody did recognize who he was, and Chuck Berry. But for so many years, they struggled. You know, and had to play the Chitlin' circuit, had to play and go in the back doors of big halls, even if they were playing them. And it's great to see so many young blues people like Mojo, Jack, like yourself, being able to carry that tradition on and honor them with your playing. So just wanted to spit that out there, because I always get very emotional when I think of that quote from B.B., because he was such a great human being. Really, he let me hold Lucille, and I thought that was just such an honor. I said, "Can I hold Lucille?" He looked at me, and he's like, "That's like asking to hold my wife." And I said, "I'm sorry." He goes, "But you did it politely." He goes, "Here." I goes, "That's long enough." And he took it back. I didn't even get a picture with it. I'm like, "Oh, man." But good stuff. But, you know, working with Muddy Waters, getting to meet Willie Dixon. I told Alex Dixon, his grandson, I said, "My biggest memory, or my best memory of your dad or your grandfather, was shaking his hand." They reopened Chess Studios as Jerem Studios for a while, and the Chess figures were still embedded in the wall. And Willie Dixon, with his big bowler hat, was at the door. He was like the ambassador. And he shook my hand, and my hand and my forearm disappeared. His hand was so huge. I said, "The man had the biggest hands in the world." And that's my most vivid memory of Willie Dixon. Not the music, not anything else, is the hat and the hand. Which I always thought would be a great name for a tribute album to Willie Dixon's music, The Hat and the Hand. So there we go. I think maybe we'll have to produce that one day.
Yeah.
But Jack, your style of blues is kind of all over the place.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Southern blues, it's Delta blues, it's Chicago blues. How do you meld it all together? And what's your, I mean, West Coast blues, East Coast blues, big difference. There's horns in some of the stuff. There's in others. How do you differentiate the blues? Give us a little Blues 101 here.
Blues 101. That's it's often kind of divided regionally. Chicago blues, what we're most used to here, is an electrified full band kind of thing. Drums, bass, guitar. Often harmonica. It's a very important part of the Chicago blues thing. Muddy Waters and Little Walter did that. It's transplanted here from the South, which, and it was more of an acoustic thing then.
Like a folk blues? Like
yes, blues it was kind of more of acoustic, and it became electric out of necessity of living in a city. You need to be heard. You're playing larger venues, you're playing clubs, and you want to be heard. So the Muddy Waters going electric was a lot out of necessity, and it changed the landscape of that music and rock after that.
Isn't that the Electric Mud album?
There is an Electric Mud album, which is kind of a psychedelic take on Muddy Waters, which it's Muddy Waters doing it. I heard, I think right on the cover it says Muddy Waters does not like this album. it's funny.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, where can they hear you play blues every Monday night?
Oh, I do a regular stint at Finnegan's Pub in Dyer, Indiana, right off 30.
Every right by Monday, the Dairy Queen there.
Right by the Dairy Queen, right across from Jewel and McDonald's. Every Monday, 8 to 10, with a little band of mine, Jack Whittle and the Disclaimer. Do a lot of blues, a lot of Chicago blues. There's a lot of American roots, too, though. We'll do a little country, a little soul, a little rock as well.
Is that the James effect on you, the little country coming in?
A little bit, yeah, yeah. It was coming in before, and that's why I wanted to start doing that, yeah. But, yeah, definitely James has pushed me a little bit in that direction.
Now, you've got an album. Is that the band that you recorded the album with?
No, it's not. This band is relatively recent, put together a few months ago. That's more of a Bloomington-era thing I recorded about 2 years ago. Released it last year, but I recorded it mostly 2 years ago.
Does it still represent you well?
That's a good question. I would say 35% yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've evolved a lot in the last year and a half.
I definitely think I have. I am more in charge of my own projects now than I have been in the past. That was more collaborative working.
As a band, per se?
Yes, yes.
As opposed to a band leader?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's different. And I'm not opposed to being in bands and even, you know, backing up people. Like when I'm playing with James, I'm just kind of in the background doing my thing, singing harmonies, playing his songs, letting him take the shots. I really enjoy that. But I also really enjoy leading and fronting my own project.
Do you want to do any of your songs?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do that. We've heard some James songs. Let's hear a Jack song. What's this one all about?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't even have a name for this one yet. I know it's in B. Oh, brother, won't you lend a helping hand? Oh, brother, won't you lend a helping hand? I know I made some mistakes, but I'm sure you can relate. Oh, brother, won't you lend a helping hand? Take it out on me, I didn't mean it personally. Oh, mother, I know I've been a fool. Mm-hmm. stems from my insecurity. I know I gotta work on me. Oh, baby, I know I did you wrong.
All right, another mother's song there on this Mother's Day weekend. A lot of mom references today, as it should be. That's Jack Whittle, an original tune, and Jack and James Guetta are here. They're going to be on stage next Saturday, Sunset Hill Farm County Park, the Spring Out to Sunset, and it is the first really, I guess the first real kickoff of spring-summer season, because as Walter said from the Porter County Parks Department, they have a relationship with Mother Nature, and she has arranged to have a beautiful day for us there. Right, Walter?
That's right. We're counting on her.
All right. Again, it starts at noon, and there's a variety of things going on before the concert, which the concert starts with James and Jack around 4 o'clock.
Yep.
And then Mojo and the Muddy, Mojo and the Manish Boys, they could be muddy if Mother Nature doesn't play right. But Mojo and the Manish Boys will be closing the show there with some original stuff as well. And this event is one of your babies, correct? I mean, you're kind of the spearhead guy on this.
Sure.
How long have you been with Porter County yourself, and how did you go from being a guy hanging out, listening to King Diamond, and going to Haymakers and the Thirsty Whale and all these different venues to becoming the big dog over at the Porter County Parks Department?
Well, that's two divergent stories. I was so to land here. I was out in Baltimore. In 2005 to 2010, my wife and I were working for a company out on the East Coast. My wife got pregnant with twin girls, and we knew that we needed to come home. So started looking for work back here and got hired by the park board to start running the Porter County Park Department. So it's been a really amazing journey opening up that agency and getting people to participate and get active in our facilities. We've preserved a whole lot of acreage. We've more than doubled the amount of acreage that we now can serve in Porter County through our department. So a lot of really good, important things that I'm passionate about, being in the outdoors and being able to spend time outside with your family and things of that nature. But, you know, the other side of the story, the music side and bringing that into it, how I went from being a metalhead to where I'm at now was simply because I ended up with one of my roommates in college that was a deadhead.
Oh.
And that was the end of it.
As it so often is.
You know, it was that magic moment where he said, "Hey, I got this CD I want you to listen to." You know, and I don't even know, or actually, no, it was a tape. 17th generation of some show from 77.
Yeah.
And when he got done with that, I said, "Oh, and hey, by the way, here's Master of Reality, and I want you to listen to this." And, you know, and that was the beginning of the end for both of us,
right?
To where I'm at today.
Now, how many parks does the Porter County system have?
We have 7 properties that we manage.
Okay. Is there music at all of them? Or
nope.
Just
Sunset Hill Farm is the only one with the amphitheater. Almost all of our properties are natural areas. They're prairies, wetlands, ponds. Some of it are even just farmland that we lease out to a farmer. It makes us some money to subsidize other activities. But Sunset Hill is the key component. That's the big one. That's the big tuna.
So does Spring Out to Sunset and events like this help fund programs then? Is that where the money goes that is raised by this?
A little bit. Okay. You know, this event in itself is primarily driven by our sponsors. You know, the people who are driving this, Thorgren Tool and Molding, Century 21 Affiliated, WIMS. These are the folks that allow us to do these events. We use it then to market our other programs. You know, you're out there having fun. The kids are playing with the goats and the ponies. Oh, there's this program we can sign up for next Tuesday, things of that nature. So it helps us. But no, this really doesn't subsidize the events. The idea is that we can run the big stuff like Prairie Magic that ends up bringing a couple dollars in for us to subsidize some other small shows, but that's about it right now.
Okay. Speaking of goats and everything, you have animals at this event too, right? Early before the concert?
Yeah, our farm program is out there. We decided a number of years ago to start having animals out there. So there's goats, chickens, ducks, rabbits, turkeys, ponies, sheep, they're all really fun and exciting, and the kids can come up and say hello to them and hold a chicken and pet a goat and say hi to the ponies.
I held a chicken once. I didn't know anything about farm animals. Our neighbor had them. And in the middle of the night, a possum got in the hen house. And so Alice and I run out there in our little pajama pants, and I didn't have a shirt on, and the neighbor hands me this rooster and says, here, take it in the garage. Well, I grabbed the rooster facing me. Needless to say, I look like a war victim after the talons ripped up my yep. chest.
Oh, no.
This panicked rooster in my hands at 3 a.m, you know, and I'm half asleep,
yep.
barefoot, stepping through God knows what. And Alice loves sharing that story.
Nice.
Tom's adventure with the farm animals. Because she was born and raised on a farm. I mean,
we will not make you do that next Saturday, Tom. I promise.
No chickens.
I promise.
Except fried kind. Barbecue.
Yeah, that we can definitely chicken. Talk about. My staff don't like when I refer to the animals like mm-hmm. that, refer to them as Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, or refer to them as lunch or brunch. Okay. I don't know what the problem is there. But,
yeah. Slather some sauce on them.
Right?
They're all good. I think you guys should write a song about the farm animals. I think you go hang out with the goats before the show or something and come back with a song.
We'll see if I'm feeling inspired.
Yeah, you could make that a children's song or something. Right. I like animal songs. There's a lot of fun animal songs out there.
Yeah.
And Jack, you promised that you would play the traitor Hiram McCall. And can we get you to do that? We've got about a half hour left. And
yeah.
I'd like to definitely make sure we get into that one before anything else.
Yeah, we can do that. This is off my acoustic EP, Thick as Thieves.
Which is out now.
Yes, out now. You can get it pretty much anywhere digital music is sold, or you can get it off my website, jamesgettamusic.com.
At gigs?
Yeah, you can get it at gigs. Pretty much anywhere you see me. You ask if you can have a copy, I can get it to you. I got CDs and download cards as well for those without CD drives readily available. I know me, if I get handed a CD, I have to figure out where I can actually play it.
Wow. I feel so old when you say things like that.
I'm sorry.
You can also get both Jack and James' CDs and Mojo's at the Record Bin
yes.
downtown Hobart.
I'm sorry I missed that plug opportunity.
Oh, no problem. I got you covered, brother.
All right. My first 10 sales, I believe.
See, now, if you released it on vinyl, it'd be much easier for guys like Tom and I.
It'd be more expensive, too.
That's
for
true.
Me.
That's true. Now, this song, what I like about it is I'm a history major as well as a music buff. And this kind of, I think, is this fictional?
It's completely
fictional. It's completely fictional. But it tells a story, a Civil War era.
Yes.
And again, you're a storyteller. Some of my favorite songwriters are storytellers. The John Prines, the Bob Dylans.
Right.
You know, the Michael McDermotts. These guys are the guys that tell stories. And this one, really, if you listen to it, it captures so much of a feel you... Well, you just got to listen to it.
Thank you.
Listen to it, everybody. This is Midwest Beat, Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges. This is an original tune by James Guetta with Jack Whittle accompanying the traitor Hiram McCall.
Yes. Hiram was born the youngest son of Jebediah and Margaret McCall. Back in 1843 outside Chattanooga at the tail end of the fall. He barely made it through that first winter, but it gave him a leather skin. A heart like a hammer and a sense of justice stronger than his kin. Years went by and he fell in love with a girl named Lucretia Lane. Brother told his mother one night at supper, and his parents were ashamed. They'd flirt down at the market square, and he'd melt when her smiles shined. But Lucretia was owned by a rich man, such was the custom at the time. Jebediah broke a chair, said, no son of mine's gonna love a plantation slave. Margaret cried out and said, Lord Jesus, cure my Hiram's sinful ways. Hiram asked his mama what was so Christian about owning a mortal man. Hiram's leather skin was firmly bruised by his father's calloused hand. About that time, things were heating up between Dixie and Honest Abe. Tennessee seceded and took up arms. His brother signed up right away. Hiram heard up north things were better for black folk than they were in the south. Maybe he'd be free to love Lucretia if they could just get out. So he snuck into the old plantation one night through a hole there in the fence. He found Lucretia and he whispered, "Let's go," and so away they went. He said, "Folks around here are gonna call me a traitor and they'll call me Yank. But I'm not killing my kin, I'm just doing what's right so they can think all what they think." By first light, they were racing through the backwoods aiming for Illinois. Lucretia loved Hiram and dreamed someday of a house and a little boy. By the time the sun fell on Chattanooga again, the escape was the talk of the town. Jeb told his oldest to go get your brother, we'll never live this down. A few days later, Hiram stirred up from he and Lucretia's makeshift bed. The silence was broken by the cocking of a pistol against Lucretia's head. He was face to face with his own brother, who said, "Boy, you better get back home. If you don't think I'll kill her now, you must not have known me long." Little did his brother know Lucretia had planned for a case of such distress. Silent as the grave, she reached for the knife that she kept beneath her dress. Before he could speak, his brother screamed out and dropped the gun on the ground. The shot rang out in the open air, and they knew they were in for it now. Hiram told Lucretia to keep heading north, you'll make Illinois for next dawn. They'll hunt us to the end of creation without someone to blame this on. With a final kiss and a sad goodbye, he'd never see his love again. He knelt down by his brother's body as the bloodhound circled in. Pick a jack. Chattanooga, more hated than Ulysses Grant. A murderer, a coward, a Union spy who had failed in his plan. Jebediah stood up front when they hung his boy, but Margaret didn't show at all. The grieving, disgraced mother of the traitor, Hiram McCall. Jebediah stood up front when they hung his boy. Margaret didn't show at all. The grieving, disgraced mother of the traitor, Hiram McCall.
And that's on the new album that came out this year, Thickest Thieves?
Yeah, in March.
James Guetta, Thick as Thieves. Interesting caricature of you.
Yeah, my buddy Art Fuentes did the cover art for it. I didn't know what I wanted. I just, he had an idea of my sound, and I said, I don't want it to look too country, because I'm more Midwest than Southern, So he eventually came back with that, and I really liked it. It's got the cover. This is a great thing to talk about on radio, a picture. But it's got, a cross-stitch kind of look to it, and it's got a character of me that's kind of generous,
You got the capo on.
Yeah. True to my playing, there's almost always a capo.
Wow. Good stuff. How's it been selling lately?
It's been doing pretty good. I've almost made it through my initial run. The release show at One Best Life at Tinker's Attic was really successful. And since then, I've been selling a few here and there every show. And just random folks, like a few folks at my work bought a couple copies and mm-hmm. things like that. So it's been doing pretty well. You know, it's on track. I was worried before. It was a significant investment, at least for me,
right.
You know, for where I'm at right now. But it's been doing pretty good.
Now, you guys have been working with Nick, correct?
Yeah,
Nick Cazonis?
Yeah, Nick Cazonis.
Both of you are starting to do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We work with him a fair amount. Nick's our buddy. He's great to the music scene around here. Plays around a lot in his various bands, whether it be Nick Cazonis Band or Caught on Klein or just Nick. But he does Region Buzz 219, which does videos and recording and producing. He produced my whole EP because he gave me an offer I couldn't refuse on it. So
was a horse head involved in any way?
No, not quite like that. It was more just it was me, Jack, and Nick hanging out one night at Nick's place, just playing a few songs, talking, just shooting the breeze. And right as the pizza came, I had a slice of pepperoni in my mouth, and they both cornered me like it was an intervention. So, all right, James, all right, when are you putting something out? Because they both know me. Like, I'll intend to do a lot of things.
Okay.
And it's not that I procrastinate, but if I don't get a little bit of kick in the rear, you know, it might take me a little longer than expected. So Nick looks at me. He says, all right, I'm going to give you a good offer. I ain't going to say how much it was for. But for this, I will record a 5-track acoustic EP, exactly what you're looking for. And if you walk out this door tonight without agreeing to it and setting a date, it's going to get a lot more expensive. So we ended up doing that, and it came out really well. Super happy with how it came out. He had a very, very light touch in terms of production and the mix mm-hmm. and all that, but I like the way it sounds.
Have you guys started recording together for this new full band project
Not
yet?
Not yet. No, we're still talking about the song
Not
list.
Yet.
But I want to ideally, I would like to record it over the summer, have it out by like fall or winter or something like that.
More blues focused?
Probably more like full band rock Americana feel to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like
a lot of slide.
More depth of sound. Yeah.
You have that slide sitting there. I'm waiting to see if you're going to do anything with it.
Yeah, I just have all of the tools just in case. Yeah. I don't know when we're going to play.
Yeah, I'll let Jack stretch his legs out on the new project a lot.
So your target date is fall, you said, to try to have
fall,
something out?
Fall, it depends on when I can get it recorded, but right now that's it. That's the goal. You
okay.
know,
are you writing together?
It's more, I'll run things by Jack a lot.
Okay.
You know,
edit.
Editing. Yeah, I'll say, does this sound good? And he'll go,
no.
He'll do that if it doesn't sound good. He'll say, I don't know if I'm feeling that. But I like Jack. Jack's got a better musical ear than lyrically, which is sometimes where I can have my shortcomings in terms of like my vocabulary of like chord progressions and things like that. And you know,
so you'll play something for him, and he'll say, "How about this?"
Yeah,
and then play something different.
Yeah, I'll ask him. I said, "This feels like it needs something different. What do you think?" And we'll bounce it back and forth. There's been one or two we've done that on that I don't think I played out too much. Definitely. He's a good part of the process all around, from like first coming up the song to like how we like it when we play out and things like that.
Jack, when you play on your own,
yeah,
what do you play?
I play either acoustic solo or play with a band first off, I guess.
Okay. Material wise, are you doing a lot of your own? Are you doing a lot of covers? I mean, what is your go-to when James isn't here?
When James is here, it's mostly cover and kind of traditional tunes, especially acoustic. I do a lot of traditional blues and old-timey stuff. With my band, I do a lot of the classic blues stuff, a lot of Chicago blues stuff. Yeah, a lot of classic blues, a little country, soul.
Okay, excellent.
Couple originals here and there.
You can see these guys together, Sunset Hill Farm County Park. That's this Saturday, May 18th. It's Spring Out to Sunset, right on Route 6. Beautiful facility there. How many acres, Walter?
238.
Wow.
Yep.
Jeez.
Bring your Fitbit. You're doing a lot of walking. Red Barn Stage, beautiful stage. It is a natural amphitheater there, so the sound is going to be wonderful. We have the assurance of Mother Nature. It's going to be a sunshiny day. There's going to be a lot of food. Leroy Flores will be there, which means the food will be excellent. There will be a beer garden. There will be little animals and big animals for the kids to visit with and learn a little bit about nature. We're going to literally watch James and Jack write a song about a goat.
Did we just start band camp?
I think
Is
we
that
did.
What just happened?
I think we did. And barbecue competition, we'll get to see the winners.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting. I'm really curious to see how that that goes. How many people are in it? 25?
21 teams.
21 teams.
Yep.
Wow. Anything we haven't covered, Walter, about this event that we need to?
Anything that we haven't
covered? How do they get tickets? How do they get more information? What's parking like?
Festival is $5 cash at the door. Okay. There's no ATM on site, so it's $5 per car. We don't care how many people are in the car. Don't
so we could stuff Jose in the trunk and bring him in?
You absolutely could. I make no promises that, you know, the sheriff won't have any issues if they're listening. But, yeah, it doesn't matter to me. Cram them in, strap them to the hood, roof, whatever. $5 per car to come on in. The festival is from noon to 4. The only thing you need money for is from the food vendors in the beer garden afterwards. Again, we don't have an ATM on site.
Or to buy James or Jack's album.
Yes. That's right. Yes, absolutely. Yes. And then at 4 o'clock is the concert. So we'll open the gates at 3:30 and we will have tickets for sale there. So you won't get charged to get into the festival. You show up at 3:25 or 3:30 and say, hey, I'm here for the show. Mm-hmm. You know, our staff are going to say, great, no worries, just park and then head on up to the
So the amphitheater. Show itself is free.
The concert?
Yeah.
No. Concert is $10.
Okay, $10.
Yeah, but you can pay at the gate.
Okay.
You can get tickets now through Brown Paper Tickets, or our website is portercountyparks.org/springout is the webpage for the event itself. We've got the link right there to Brown Paper Tickets, but we'll have tickets available at the gate, and we will have a square for that, so you can bring a card and pay for that up there.
If you're on Facebook, there is an event page, too, that'll link you right to everything. I just pulled that up.
Yep. And, so all the information is there. Food, beer garden, lots of activities and games for the kids. You know, really the idea is you can bring out the little ones, and in a couple hours, they go home absolutely exhausted. That they had a great
And then you
time.
Can head to Leroy's.
Yeah, right.
See, call the babysitter.
This is the whole plan. Yes. Yep,
Sunset Hill Farm County Park is at 775 Meridian Road, right at the intersection there of Route 6. You can't miss it. It's a giant, beautiful park, and there's lots of parking. You park in the lawn, right?
Yep. Our staff will get you in. We can accommodate plenty of folks, and lots of room to roam and lots of fun to be had, that's for sure.
All right. Guys, you're going to be performing at the Highland Fest. You'll be there on 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, you'll be with Liz Mandeville at the Highland Music and Market. You'll also be in Crown Point with Liz Mandeville at their Music and Market, I believe. So you've got a lot of things going on. And every Monday, you're at Finnegan's?
Yeah, every Monday at Finnegan's, 8 to 10, Finnegan's Dyer. Indiana, and also every Wednesday at Bottoms Up in Lansing, Illinois, right over the border.
Is that also an open mic, or
That's an open mic at Bottoms Up. I have a special guest every week. Last week we had Joe Marcinick. That was
great
cool.
Player.
Yeah. Next week we have Mark Adrian, another local guy. He played in Groovatron.
Member of Jack Whittle and the Disc
Mild Marvel. Cheese. I used to play that song from Groovatron.
Mild
Cheese. I used to play that in the old Night Rock show back in the day. Those guys were good jammers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mark's great. Plays everything. You hand him a tissue box ukulele, he'd play something great with that.
James, what about you? Where can we see you?
Working on that. I'm kind of going through a booking period right now. I've had a...
Well, I know you guys are going to play at this event.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be playing... I know you're going to be playing... was it the Highland... one of the Highland shows?
Yes.
I think you're playing one of the Crown Point shows.
Yes. I
at Bulldog Park. Brand new facility, by the way. Check that out. They are building it as we speak.
Yeah. And then sometime this month or next month, I got... Let me check calendar real quick.
We're also going to have you guys back at the record bin sometime soon.
Yes.
We had some fun on Record Store Day. We had... it was last minute... you know, inspiration.
It was a
it's
good
like,
time.
Call up Jack and James, see if they want to do a little busking down there. It's
yeah.
Like, threw the guitar case open. People were throwing money at you. We had free hot dogs. It was a good time. Weather was with us. Walter called in a favorite, Mother Nature, and it all worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very old school. Do you get to do much of that kind of stuff anymore?
We try to when the weather's good, for sure.
Because, I mean, there's so many permits needed now to do anything and everything.
Yeah, sometimes I'll try and sneak out to the square in Crown Point and just leave the case open. Like a couple summers ago when it seemed like everybody was playing Pokemon Go, I went out there a few times and I just left the case open. Because if a herd of kids walks past you seven times trying to catch whoever – then they're inclined to throw you a fiver, you know.
So right. Cool.
Yeah, but on the 17th, actually, before this next week, I didn't realize it was. This, I'm gonna be at the town pub with Jack.
Where's that? Yeah. Is that Lowell?
Yeah, the Lowell Town Pub with Jack. That's gonna be 9 to 12. I need to make an event for that. I just realized how soon it was coming.
If you're not doing anything this Sunday, we're gonna be having an open mic with Cousin Dave Neely at the store. So
Cousin Dave's great.
Cousin Dave is awesome. In fact, I think, isn't that how I met you guys? Was through Cousin Dave's open mic? At the store? I think you came out for that.
Oh, not Cousin Dave. Bob Mandarino.
Bob Mandarino's. Okay.
But those guys knew me from Cousin Dave's jam.
Okay.
I used to go out
Bob's another one of those guys that knows everybody and their brother.
Been around.
Yeah, like, Cousin Dave's a machine. No matter how many great guitar players I meet around here, everybody talks about Cousin Dave in this sanctified manner because he's so good.
He's like a tie-dyed Santa Claus.
Yeah, such a nice guy. And you look at him, you think he'll be like a bluegrass picker or something because he wears the overalls, he's got the big long beard and the tie-dye.
He kind of does a little bluegrass, a little Americana, but he's a rocker.
Yeah, a lot of good classic rock and blues stuff. The guy's a
Neil Young.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you guys are out there and you want to participate, you guys are always welcome at our store. But anyone else that's out there listening as a picker or a keyboardist or a singer and you want to sit in, it is the open mic at the Record Bin, 218 Main Street, this Sunday from 4 to 6. Always free to attend if you just want to come. Free refreshments, coffee, donuts, cookies, hot chocolate, whatever. But we are here to remind you once again that on Saturday, May 18th, next Saturday, we're going to be doing it at Sunset Hill Farm, County Park. I didn't look at my notes there. I had to remember that one. But we have a couple of minutes left. Let's throw in a quick Mojo song. We have this is a short one, isn't it? Okay, let's do that, and then we're going to take it out with a live song from the guys here.
Okay.
Let's do Mississippi Found Me. Again, another brand new – I shouldn't say brand new, but another new original song. This is not one of Muddy's songs, but it's all about his roots in Mississippi, and is done by his youngest son, Joseph Mojo Morganfield, who will be performing with Jack and James at Sunset Hill Farm County Park on May 18th. Be sure to be there for these great talents. Here's one of the songs I'm sure you'll be hearing off Mojo Rising.
When I was just a baby, those big hands set me down. A voice as big as history said someday you'll be found. 100 years before you, your name was in the book. She'll find you when she's ready. She would know right where to look. Mississippi found me. Mississippi found me. On the seventh hour of the seventh day, she found me from 700 miles away. Mississippi found me. Whoa, yes she did. Like a spirit from the Mississippi mud, the whisper in my dream, the fever in my blood. They wrote it in the stars, yeah, they wrote it in the bones. That chariot come a swinging for to carry me on. Mississippi found me. Mississippi found me. On the seventh. the 7 day. She found me from 700 miles away. Mississippi found me. Whoa, yes she did. Mississippi found me.
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 On the seventh hour of the 7 day. She found me from 700 miles away. Mississippi found me. Whoa, yes she did.
Mississippi found me.
Mississippi found me.
Mississippi found me. That's off Mojo Rising. Joseph Mojo Morganfield, who will be live in studio with us right here at Lakeshore 89.1 FM Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We'll be talking about his performance and his trip to Memphis, baby, that he has done this week, honoring his father. But we'll mostly be talking about the Spring Out to Sunset Festival, and we'll be debuting his new single that no one has played on the radio yet. We'll be the first ones to do it, called The Mannish Boys, I believe. We'll find that out for sure. We have James Guetta and Jack Whittle in the studio with us. And we've also got Walter Lenkos of the Porter County Parks Department. And we're talking about a final time, Spring Out to Sunset Festival. And that's happening on Saturday, May 18th from noon until 4 or 5 o'clock?
Yep, 4 o'clock is the end of the festival.
Okay, and then the concert starts from
four to six-ish? Yep, you got it.
Okay. Walter, give us some websites again and details real quick.
Yep, PorterCountyParks.org/springout is the website. It's $5 per car to come on in from noon to 4 with all sorts of crafts, activities, games, beer garden and
animals.
Food available, and the farm animals. Gates will open at 3:30 at the amphitheater, and Jack and James will start about 4 o'clock after some quality time at the farmhouse. And then Mojo will take the stage and rock us out for the rest of the evening.
Now, people can bring blankets and lawn chairs,
yes,
and things, just not outside food.
Yep. Yeah, please bring whatever you need to be comfortable out there for the day. Lawn chairs, blankets, reusable water bottles are great. We'll have water on site available for folks. But
okay.
Yeah, help our vendors out. Bring some money for the food. Bring some money to buy Jack and James albums out there.
Yes.
You know, support our local artists. The more that people support our local
artists.
Buy me
a beer or five.
That's right, man. Absolutely. Yep. It all makes it better.
All right. We got about 3 minutes left. Let's do something live to get us out of here. Once again, James Guetta and Jack Whittle. And this is Midwest Beat. We'll see you back Tuesday with Joseph Mojo Morganfield and more on Spring Out to Sunset.
Me and old Bill here, we both came from Georgia. Met Hank down in New Mexico. Bound for Durango to join Pancho Villa. We hear he's paid in gold. I guess man's got to do what he's best at. I ain't found nothing better so far. We're called mercenaries. We're men with no country, just soldiers in search of war. And we're bound for the border, we're soldiers of fortune. We'll fight for no country, but we'll die for good pay. under the flag of a greenback dollar, or the peso down Mexico way. Jackie Boy.